It was like, and then I didn't know which one to look at. It was like those little, you're at the baseball game, they put the fries under the hat and you're trying to chase it. I felt like maybe I was going to have to do that with the screens. So, now I don't know how many of you remember all the Jason Bourne movies. If you've seen them, they're like rerun them, I think, every hour on some channel somewhere because it always seems to be on. But if you remember the story of Jason Bourne and the Bourne Identity and the Bourne something and the Bourne Ultimatum and the Bourne and whatever else is Bourne, you'll remember that he loses his life's history in some mysterious circumstances. He's found kind of floating out in the Mediterranean seas, unconscious. A couple of Italian fishermen find him, and he doesn't remember who he was, although he retains his combat skills and his foreign language skills. Anyway, he it's amazing. He's suffering from a thing called psychogenic amnesia. Now, there are people in real life who do suffer from psychogenic amnesia. And when this occurs, people will travel hundreds of miles from their homes with no names and no memories. I was reading the story of a lady from, I guess, 3 or 4 years ago. Her name was Ashley, and she was born in Pennsylvania. She moved to Arizona and then on to California, and she was missing from her family for 2 years. When she was finally reunited with her family, it was pieced together who she was through the FBI, through local authorities, through the work of the media. She thought her name was Sam, and she had no memory of her life with her family. And they began to piece together her past. Now, this psychogenic amnesia is extremely rare because due to the structural makeup of our brains, we at least tend to remember our own names long after we've forgotten the names of other people. Yet it's very tragic and it's sad when people forget who they are. Now, you might ask, what does this have to do with Matthew chapter 5, verse 13 through 16, when Jesus is talking about salt and light, and we are focusing on reaching out? This passage, these few verses, are really about retaining our identity. I want you to notice what Jesus says. He says, "You are the salt of the earth. You are the light of the world." And notice what Jesus doesn't say. Jesus doesn't say, try to be the salt of the earth and try to be the light of the world. His comment is very straightforward. He is saying, you are the salt of the earth. You are the light of the world. This is what and who you are, so don't forget it. That's really what Jesus is saying. This is not a command, to be salt and to be light. This is who you are. This is a description of who you are. You are salt and you are light. And when Jesus is talking about this, Jesus is talking primarily, first and foremost, about godly character, more than he is talking about good actions. He is speaking about who we are first and foremost, more than what we do. Now, this godly character is exemplified in the previous verses, what we know as the Beatitudes in Matthew chapter 5, verses 3 through 12, where Jesus is talking about that godly character that is exemplified in our world for those who follow Jesus. And so those character traits of being humble, poor in spirit, being those who mourn for the presence of God. They long for more of a presence of God, and they mourn over the sin that destroys our world and destroys one another. They are the meek, those who are God-molded, molded into who God desires us to be. They are those that hunger and thirst for righteousness. They are the merciful, the pure in heart, the peacemakers, those who are persecuted because of righteousness, because they follow Jesus. And that is the character and the life of a follower of Jesus. And when we have that character, then it's going to give testimony that we belong to God and to his kingdom first and foremost. Now, N.T. Wright says this. He reminds us that Jesus was starting a revolution, and that the key to this revolution was that the followers of Jesus would live by the way that Jesus is announcing, living by a new way. And the revolution starts with our formation into Christ-likeness. It begins with the formation of character into Christ-likeness, so that when people see us, they look past us and they give glory to our Father in heaven, as Jesus says. Now, the late Robert Mulholland, a great teacher in spiritual formation, he talked about our formation to Christ-likeness as the process of being shaped by the presence, purpose, and power of God in all things. If we are being shaped by the Spirit and in the image of God, then guess what? We are going to flavor our world with the presence of Jesus. And yes, our light is going to shine. You are the salt of the earth. You are the light of the world. Now, in the ancient world, salt had great value for a variety of things. It was used for sacrifice. It was used for purification. It was used for how most of us use it, for seasoning. It was used for preservation. And the followers of Jesus are to live their lives into these roles into our world. That if we are the salt of the earth, then we live, as Paul would say, as a living sacrifice. If we are the salt of the earth, then we're going to have this desire for purity, that we want pure things in our world that is so corrupt. We long for the purity of God, that we are to season or flavor the world with God's grace, that we are to preserve what is good and what is honorable and what is holy and what is pleasing. Now, we know that salt has no value in itself. Think about it. You don't go to a restaurant and they ask, what will you have? And you go, salt. I mean, I don't think you do that. You just don't go, hey, what do you want off the menu? I don't see salt on your menu. Where is it? when you're figuring out where you're going to eat, you ever do that? You're sitting around friends or family and you're going, where do you want to go eat tonight? What are you hungry for? I'm hungry for salt. You don't do that. You don't leave a restaurant and go on your little review app and go, well, I can't say much about the meat, but the salt was sure good. I mean, salt has no value in itself. Salt is value is in its application to other things. John Wesley, the father of Methodism, says that he applies this to our lives as Christ followers. And this is what he says. He says, it is your very nature to season whatever is round about you. It is the very nature of the divine savor which is in you to spread to whatsoever you touch, to diffuse itself on every side to all those among whom you are. This is the great reason why the providence of God has so mingled you together with other men and women, that whatever grace you have received of God may through you be communicated to others, that every holy temper and word and work of yours may have influence on them also. By this means, a check will in some measure be given to the corruption of which is in the world, and a small part at least saved from the general infection. In other words, sin, and rendered holy and pure before God. Salt has no value except for its application to other things. So as followers of Jesus, we are to be like Jesus in the world. We are to flavor the world with Jesus. A disciple, a follower of Jesus, is an apprentice to Jesus. We do the things that Jesus does. And we have a world that is in the need of the mercy of God, the righteousness of God, the purity of God, and the peace of God. And we are to flavor our world in a world where we see violence, and we see racism, and we see sexism, and we see poverty and loneliness and addiction and suffering and abuse and human trafficking and wars and disease, and you can continue to name it. We are to go out in the world and be the application of Jesus in our world, to reach out in our community and to reach out in the world and to season the world with the very presence of Christ, doing the things that Jesus would do. Now, let me tell you some places where I see this at work locally. I see this at work locally when we, as the people of God, go beyond our walls and engage our community. The weekend, Saturday before last, we had a large group of folks who went out into our community through the Beyond Our Walls ministry to flavor our community, the Northwest Arkansas community, with the presence of Jesus. I think about too that on Tuesday and Thursday of this week, this room will be rearranged so that people who are homeless, people who are transient, people who can't afford to have a meal, they have no place to have a meal, will be here through community meals and they will be fed. I think about lunch buddies and all the folks that I run into when I've been at Asbel with my lunch buddy, and it's in other schools as well now, where we are the presence of Christ, flavoring a school, letting children know that we care, that Christ cares. Our Celebrate Recovery, which is relaunched at our Genesis campus, and we have over 50 folks who are each week coming to Celebrate Recovery, and one lady who's now involved through Celebrate Recovery, and she is moving away from being someone who prostitutes out her body in order to make it, in order to feed an addiction. I think about the Genesis food pantry that feeds so many, our other places where we're engaged, housing assistance. So last year, I think we helped over 200 people get into housing and off the street. Our partnership with the Magdalene House, which helps women who are getting out of sex trafficking. Also, Loving Choices as well, Salvation Army, Cooperative Emergency Outreach, which helps so many. And by the way, Central United Methodist Church supports more in the way of money and volunteers than any other agency or any other church. And then our partnership with Seven Hills as well. Now, this is not to mention the everyday flavoring of Jesus that we give to one another and to those around us, which we should never take for granted. I think I mentioned last week in the 9:30 service when I was preaching that a couple of weeks ago, a couple of Thursdays ago, there was a group of 58 men who came, and we were challenged and inspired by Tommy Van Zandt to remind each other that we need to have one another's backs and we need to love one another. I'm always grateful for those salty people in my life, those people who are people of mercy and of peace, who challenge me to pursue righteousness, and by their example, they give me a longing and a hungering and a thirst for God's righteousness. And then I think about globally of how we're flavoring the world with Christ, of our mission to Uganda, and also to Amazon and to Cuba and to our Mexico missions and India and other partnerships that we have, that we are actually flavoring the world with the presence of Christ. And you are a part of that. Jesus says, not only are you salt, but you're the light of the world. Now, like salt, light doesn't exist for its own benefit, but for the benefit of everything that light illuminates. Light provides warmth. Light provides energy to the world around it. It encourages life and growth. And we do this very thing when we live into our identity as the light of the world. We reflect the hope of Christ to the world. Again, John Wesley remarked that the light of Christ within us makes us as conspicuous as the sun in the heaven. It is impossible for those who follow Christ to conceal the light. So Christ's love reaches out of us. Christ's love shines forth in our action through our labor of love and cannot be hid any more than a city on a hill. You know, oftentimes we might hear this, that people want to just not talk about Christ because that's private, right? Well, the problem with that is Jesus says it's not private. So if you're going to follow Jesus, that means it can't be private. And that's what Jesus is saying. He's saying it's ludicrous for you to try to hide your light. If you're going to follow me, you're going to stick out. You're going to stick out like a sore thumb sometimes because you are the light of the world. And so we can't forget our identity. Now, Jesus, when he's talking about this, you have in the background a couple of places from the book of Isaiah. And so let me share those with you real quick. One of those comes from Isaiah 42:6. And this is what Jesus says. He says, I, the Lord, have called you in righteousness. I will take hold of your hand. I will keep you and will make you to be a covenant for the people and a light for the Gentiles. In other words, you're going to be a light to the entire world. He says the same thing pretty much in 49:6. He says this. He says, I will also make you a light for the Gentiles that my salvation may reach to the ends of the earth. Now, again, this is a call for God's people to be a light into the world. Now, back in the time of Isaiah, Isaiah's reminding people on behalf of God that you are to be a light to your world, and they had gotten mixed up and thought they were just to be a light unto themselves. But we are the light of the world. And sometimes the temptation for us is to try to hide our light. I'll tell you where a great temptation comes for me when I want to hide my light. It's when those people who claim the name of Christ use the name of Christ for their own purposes. That's when I want to back off, right? I don't want to be identified with people who manipulate others for their own purposes by using the name of Christ. I think that's where we read that commandment, do not take the name of the Lord in vain. That's exactly what that's about, using God's name for our own purposes. I don't want to be identified with folks who do violence in the name of the Lord. I really don't want to be identified with people who decide that they're going to add a little Jesus into their campaigns, right? I'm glad we're over with that, or mostly over. I know there's runoffs. I think that's taking the Lord's name in vain. Sometimes it makes me want to hide. I just want to hide. I'll say, no, I'm not. Are you a Christ follower?
I like that.
I want to hide. But the truth is, we can't hide. We can't overcome the misuse of Jesus' name by hiding our light. We overcome by pointing to Jesus. We overcome by shining forth even greater. We don't forget our identity. We don't hide, but we let our light shine. And that's what Jesus says. He says, neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on a stand where it gives light to everyone in the house. So how does that play out? I think it plays out that we are to be open and honest instead of hiding in the dark, that we're to offer warmth and encouragement instead of being cold and discouraging, that we are to energize one another so that we can advance the mission of Christ in our world. You see, light is catching. Several years ago, we extended our reach in Fayetteville by committing to bring light to other places of our world. One of those is that we started the Genesis campus. We planted a church in South Fayetteville. And we did so because we were called to be a light. Can't hold on to the light. You have to share the light. Now, if you would have asked any church consultant where to plant a church, the last place they would have said was South Fayetteville. They would have said, oh, you got to go out here on 49. You got to hit the corridor. We're not there. Not there. They would have said any other place, but we went there because God was telling us to go there. And now on Sunday morning, just on Sunday morning, we have two worship services, plus a third called Morning Manna, and there may be 400 folks there on a Sunday morning. When we began the conversation about being down there, I think there was like 35, maybe. And so we went to do ministry there. As a matter of fact, now I think they say that they average 40 to 50 people a day of people who walk in and they need some sort of spiritual, financial, medical assistance. And we're able to be that light. Also, about 3 or 4 years ago, we took on a fledgling campus ministry with a total involvement of maybe 15. And we stepped out on faith because we believed that God was calling us to be a light on the mission field of the University of Arkansas campus. And now we have a thriving ministry under the leadership of Emily Birch, and we are salt and light to that mission field. But when it comes down to us, the goal is not to make it about us. The goal is to make it about God. Jesus says, in the same way, let your light shine before others that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven. It's not about us. It's about others joining the revolution, right? They see your good works, and then what do? They glorify the Father in heaven. In other words, they too become followers of Jesus. They become salt and light, and through their lives, they're bringing glory to God. So others will join the revolution to flavor the world with the presence of Christ, and Christ's light of hope shines brighter. So let me end with a critical question. I heard this question one time, and I'll change it here in a second because I like my questioning better. The question was, and I can't remember what setting it came in, if your church, Central United Methodist Church, was to close its doors tomorrow, would it be missed? What would the community of Fayetteville and the world look like? So here's my question that I like better. Because the church is not buildings, the church is people. So here's my question. What would be missed if the Christ followers of Central forgot their identity? That they became tasteless salt? Or they hid under a bucket their light? Would we be missed? You bet we would. We are salt, we are light. Fayetteville, Northwest Arkansas, many parts of our world would be much less flavored with the presence of Christ and much more dark with less hope in our world. You are the salt of the earth and the light of the world. That's who you are. Don't forget it. Thanks be to God that we have been invited to bring him glory. And thanks be to God that by his grace we can be part of a revolution that changes souls, changes lives, changes the world. Will you pray with me? Wonderful God, we thank you. We thank you that when your spirit enters a life, that a life is never the same. And because we have encountered you, we are not the same. We are not tasteless, we are not dark. We are salt, we are light. Lord, help us to recommit to that identity today as followers of Jesus, to change our community, to change our world so that others may give glory to our Father in heaven. It's in his name that we pray. Amen. I want to invite you to stand as you're able as we sing together.